This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll visit with Joe Tragel, former head of the Sterling Group, former revenue secretary in Louisiana. And he'll comment on actions involving the Louisiana legislature as the session has continued with no action to remove an unconstitutional anti-sodomy law from the books in Louisiana. In fact, the House voted 67-27 to keep things the way they are. We'll talk with Joe Tragel about Michael Sam as well, the first openly gay NFL draftee, and an anti-discrimination bill died yesterday in a Senate committee. All this with Joe Tragel, and also we will hear from Byron Henderson from the Department of Revenue on a tax-free holiday. But now the news on 89.3. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757, wherever you are, and you may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. We're in studio with Joe Tragel, and I checked, it's been almost 6 months since Joe was last with us, and he is, of course, emerged as the foremost gay rights activist in Louisiana, formerly head of the Revenue Department in Louisiana. And he started a company with Buddy Romer called the Sterling Group that made both he and Buddy wealthy men. Good morning, Joe Tragel.
Good morning, Jim Inkster.
And at one time, you were weren't you president of the Rotary Club?
No, I was a member and on the board for 6 years, or so I was a member for 11 years while I was part of the, quote, establishment.
And you were active with the chamber.
Yes, I was chairman of the chamber. Interestingly enough, back in those days, Jim, I was telling some people the other day that if you look at the list of things that this city struggles with, the education system was back in the early 80s on the top of the list, and many of the challenges that we faced then are the same challenges we face today. It's a tough, tough problem to resolve.
Okay. Yesterday, the Senate Committee, Judiciary A, voted 4-1 against a measure that would add sexual orientation as well as gender identity or expression to state anti-discrimination laws. You got one vote, Joe Tragel.
Well, I didn't get any votes. What happened is, once again, the state of Louisiana decided, the legislature, that we want to stay at the bottom of the list as far as our status of being open and welcoming to all people. What I find ironic, Jim, about this is that we, the people of Baton Rouge and the people of the state of Louisiana, just wrote a check for $80 million, I want to say that again, $80 million to IBM to get 800 jobs. The dichotomy of this is that IBM, 35 years ago, began and remains the number one equality representative organization in the United States. They have promoted equality. They have domestic partner. They have everything. And yet here we are, a state which they're coming into with limited jobs, but coming into. And it's like we just are thumbing our nose at them and the rest of industry saying, well, we'll buy jobs, but we're not going to make our environment open and welcoming. And please don't bring any gay people down here because that's not our deal.
All right. Well, the vote in the committee, Ed Murray, Democrat, African-American from New Orleans, voted yes.
Yeah.
Those voting no, Conrad Appel, Ricky Ward, and Danny Martini, and Dan Clater.
Dan Clater. It's interesting when you analyze, let's just focus on, and I'm allowed to talk about him because he's my senator, Dan Clater. I saw him on television last night, and he gave some barely understandable explanation about the bill was too complicated or something like that. My suspicion is what Dan Clater was doing was positioning himself in his congressional race so that he could run around with Tony Perkins and Gene Mills and the Louisiana Family Forum all over the 6th District and say, oh, no, I did not vote to give those gay people equal rights or to be treated with dignity and respect. I stand with you, and I stand with Louisiana being number 50. So I want to give Clater the benefit of the doubt. if Senator Clayton was sincere about the bill was had some flaws or what have you, my question is, and I'd love to have him call into the program this morning, the question is this, Senator Clayton. If you thought there was a flaw in the bill, why did you not amend the bill? Why did you not try to improve the bill? Why did you not try to improve Louisiana? Why did you not try to make us more attractive to jobs in the future?
Okay. Well, he voted on the bill before him, and he was in the majority, and Dan Clayton, I'm sure, represents the majority of the Louisiana legislature on this. After all, the Louisiana House last month voted 67 to 27 to keep an unconstitutional anti-sodomy law on the books, a law that I would think that many members who voted for it, they're violating it themselves. It applies to couples of heterosexual, the heterosexual variety, the homosexual variety. Why would we do something like this?
I think the answer, Jim, is pretty understandable, and it's pretty simple. If you, first of all, look at the question of the 4.4 million people who live in this state, every poll has indicated that the population of Louisiana is a fair-minded, open, welcoming group of people. The problem is the disconnect between the good people of Baton Rouge and Louisiana, and the people who sit in public office. You know, and I know, we're inside baseball political junkies. We know that the Louisiana Family Forum, which is the far-right group who makes a living out of selling intolerance and bigotry and what have you, those people, they used to rent governors, but they own Jindal, and they own most of the legislature. They went over there yesterday.
Well, do they own Steve Carter? He voted, he was one of the 67.
He was one of the 60, sure. They go over and they whisper in his ear, we'll get the churches on you. We'll do this, we'll do that. Mm. I don't understand Carter's vote. I never did. And listen, there used to be an organization in Baton Rouge or in the state called LABI. It's now JABI. It used to be the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. It is now the Jindal Association of Business and Industry.
That was what C.B. Forgunston called it the other day, but he says he's still a member of LABI or JABI, whatever you want to call it. Are you a member?
I am not currently a member. I had heard that down at the City Club is where I picked it up a few weeks ago. But I want to just give you a contrast. Who was the guy who started LABI? Ed Steinle?
Yeah. Ed Steinle, yeah, I guess he was.
And was really the founder of LABI. I remember about 12 years
ago. Well, go ahead.
When Ed Steinle, in essence the godfather of LABI, and Vic Busey, who was the head of the AFL-CIO, and Red Berg, who was high up in the AFL-CIO, that all of us went before the Louisiana legislature and asked for some change in the discrimination laws in Louisiana. And now here is LABI up there. Every time an openness or intolerance or a tolerance bill comes up, they're up there opposing it with venom.
297-5633 is your number. Just looking back on this 67-27 vote a few weeks ago by the legislature to keep an unconstitutional law on the books. Pat Smith tried to get rid of it, and she didn't get but 27 votes to do it in the House of Representatives. Among those voting to keep things the way they are, Sam Jones, a Democrat, former mayor of Franklin, who's considered to be progressive on some issues, but he voted with the majority. John Bell Edwards was one of the 27 to vote to get rid of it. Candidate for governor from a meet, one of the most conservative hamlets in Louisiana.
Absolutely.
I would imagine there was some political risk for him to vote as he did.
I would think so. But, Jim, let's back up just a second and ask ourselves, what is the missing ingredient in all of this legislation that fails and all of our backwardness that comes out of the legislature? The missing ingredient is one simple thing: leadership. We don't have leaders. We don't have leaders in government. We don't have leaders in business. We don't have leaders in the religious community. We have caretakers and, to a large extent, unfortunately, a lot of panderers.
All right. Well, legislation to allow teenage public school students to be asked sex-related questions on a national survey was shot down yesterday by the House Education Committee, 7-6 vote. The sponsor, Patricia Smith, she's not getting too far with these sex-related bills.
No, but once again, I think the majority of people in Louisiana would say, absolutely, we need to educate our children better. We need to educate ourselves better. We're one of the least educated states in the United States of America. We have 86%. We're the number one state in the country. 86% of our population in Louisiana was born here, raised here, and traveled no more than two states away. And the missing ingredient, once again, is leaders who will stand before us and say, I want to make you better. I want to make this state better. We want to grow. We want to get competitive. Here's a, you've heard me say this several times before. Our neighboring state of Texas, last 40 years, grew 156%.
Well, you talked about this, but I want to read you something that was in the New York Times a few days ago. Claire Kane Miller, a reporter for The Upshot, a New York Times venture that provides news analysis and graphics about politics, policy, and everyday life. She writes, when the NFL last week drafted its first openly gay player, Michael Sam, he joined a roster of recent firsts from the first out nightly news and morning television anchors, United States senator, and pro basketball player. But one major realm of society lags behind. Corporate America. There are very few openly gay chief executives at the nation's 1,000 biggest companies. Now, this is a national issue. It's not a Louisiana issue. I guess it is by extension, but why is it still difficult for a chief executive officer at a major company to say he or she is gay?
I think I wish I had all the answers, but I don't. But part of the answer is this, Jim. What happens to us as a society is that mores and wives' tales and everything, they get passed on from generation to generation. And there's no economic requirement whether it happens in low income, middle income, or upper income. And then it takes something to happen in a person's life to change this viewpoint and to correct their value system.
But along the way, Joe, you were a successful business person, a prominent public official, courted by many to run for high office. But at that time, you were married with children, and most people thought you were heterosexual. That's, you even told yourself you were heterosexual.
Well, that's exactly right. And because it is the perennial go-along to get-along scenario, and I make no justification for the mistakes that I made in my life. But I will tell you this one little anecdote. I come from a little town called Belle Chasse, Louisiana, down in the free state of Plaquemine. And when I left there at 18, my value system said African-American people, third-class citizens, not to be treated with dignity and respect. I was taught that by my government, by my religion, and unfortunately by my family.
Frank and Zachary. Frank, you're on the air with Joe Tregel. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Joe. Hey, guys. Listen, I am, Jim, I want to thank you for having the courage to put these posts on the air. I am 100% behind you. I think that John Bell Edwards showed
what?
I'm sorry. I'm being talked to by the producer as well, I think.
Okay. Hang on. Go ahead. You're saying John Bell Edwards. I think you were about to say, Frank, that
yeah.
He showed courage.
He showed extreme courage. You know, like you said, being from one of the more conservative places in the state, quote unquote, to do what is right and to literally, I mean, it's a simple thing. They took an oath to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the state of Louisiana and the United States of America, and to say that the law as dictated by the U.S. Supreme Court is not going to be followed by the state of Louisiana is one of the most ignorant and backwards statement that a legislative body can make.
Thank you, Frank. But, you know, Frank, I've spent some time, as Jim was kind enough to note, in state government. But what happens to these people is that when you're up there in the legislative body, and it is controlled by outside groups like the Louisiana Family Forum, and the governor sends a signal down to kill it, it's very hard to stand up and to be brave.
297-5633 is your number. We'll be back in 90 seconds on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Joe Tregel is our guest for a while longer, and we shall hear in a few moments from an LSU student, a mass communication major, a junior from Atlanta, Bianca Webb, who is in a relationship with a prominent LSU football player, and we'll get her take on what's happening as far as the attention that has been bestowed upon Michael Sam, the first openly gay athlete to be drafted by an NFL team. And these high-profile people, Joe Tregel, quite often bring attention to gays in the workplace. But most people don't have Oprah following them around doing documentaries. How is it for a gay person in, say, Louisiana who's working and may be open about their orientation or not so? Is it tougher for a gay person than it is for a straight person?
It's noticeably different here in this state. The jumping off point for this discussion, Jim, is that it really shouldn't be, that a business environment or a city environment or a state environment should be colorblind, sexual orientation blind to every citizen or to have an opportunity. That doesn't mean you have to invite me to dinner, but out in the workplace and in the city and what have you, it should be open. I lived 20 years here, as you noted earlier, as part of deeply embedded in the establishment. Now I've been back 20-something years as an openly gay businessman. It's an entirely different environment. You don't get invited many places. You can't speak at some of the civic clubs because of your sexual orientation. And it's a different thing. It's pretty challenging. Unfortunately, again, my statistic, in the last 40 years, Texas grew 156%.
Right.
We grew 14. A lot of the smart gay people, and bright people, not just gay people, left.
Well, do you think there are a number of people, you've mentioned, for example, the Chamber saying that they're no openly gay people on the board that you know of, no openly gay people who work there. But my guess is that there are gay people who work at the Chamber, who are
sure
on the board, who just don't talk about their orientation.
Well, I think that's right. And I think part of a person, any individual, whether it's Bianca, who's African-American, or Jim Inkster, or Joe Tregel, that all of us should be able, in our work environment and in our city environment, be who we are and to be open and to be talk about who we love. And again, you don't have to invite us to dinner, but we ought to be treated mm-hmm. with dignity and respect at all times.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on the air with Joe Tregel.
Yeah, so do you think that this anti-gay factor is really part of a conservative Christianity and conservative Islam to use religion as an excuse to foster traditional marriage, but what really is important is to keep women in a subservient position in society?
Well, Dan, thank you for your question. Here's my personal observation, is that many of the right-wing extreme people, and I guess I kind of put Jindal and Tony Perkins and Gene Mills from the Louisiana Family Forum in this category, they cherry-pick. They cherry-pick the Bible, and they find things that incite crowds and that they know the crowds can't be disturbed about because the crowds don't know that many gay people or whatever. And they use that for what? For political purposes and to raise money. Pass the basket and give me some quiet money because I got you all roused up about not liking certain people and making you think that you're better than somebody else.
But it's not just the people you mentioned. It's 67 Louisiana House members, from Steve Carter to Sam Jones.
That's exactly
many
right.
Others.
And that's the disconnect between the population of Louisiana who doesn't believe that and who doesn't feel that. We have a complete disconnect between the people who sit in public office, and here's the vacuum, here's the desert. We have no leaders. We have no leaders who will stand up and say, this is nonsense. We need to grow up. We need to... Texas had 156% growth. We had 14. We got to stop this. We got to join the race. We got to get competitive. We got to be open and welcoming to every human being.
All right. Are things better now than they were 5 years ago,
oh,
10 years ago?
Definitely things are better, Jim. And things are changing, not necessarily here in Louisiana, but all over the country. Things are changing very rapidly. I read in the New York Times this morning that the Pennsylvania court just declared their marriage statute unconstitutional. They're going to keep falling, and over the next 5 or 10 years, it's going to be something people are going to look back and say, what are we talking about?
The Advocate has had same-sex couples in its wedding pages?
Well, they have, but now let's be fair and accurate. That is a paid notice, so it would be hard for them not to publish it if you walked in with a check.
But they could.
They could, and have for many, many years.
And you still can't get married in Louisiana?
No, you can't, of course.
If you're gay?
Of course not.
I mean, you can get married somewhere else.
That's right.
So.
That's right.
297-5633 is your number. Joe Tregel. Michael Sam, the NFL football player, 24 years young, a bit old to be an NFL rookie, but he's one of the most famous rookies of all time. SEC Player of the Year at the University of Missouri, and drafted in the 7th round by the St. Louis Rams, getting all kinds of attention that most 7th rounders don't get. Is this big news that we're possibly going to have an NFL player who is openly gay?
I'm not sure that it's big news, Jim. It's big news to a lot of people who don't feel like that's the appropriate thing to do. But for the majority of people in this country, as you well know, the majority of people feel like it's a live and let live, and they shouldn't be judging other people because they don't understand who they are. I think over time it will, again, become something that no one pays attention to. It's like integration. You remember 30, 40 years ago when I grew up in Belle Chasse? I mean, segregation.
I think it was longer than that.
Well, all right. It was 50 years ago. Segregation was the byword. I mean, it was your credentials to get admitted to a meeting or to a club or what have you. And that's no longer the case. We just look at it as, wow, why didn't we get that message sooner?
All right. 297-5633. We'll talk a bit about the Michael Sam situation. Frank, do we have Joe Oliva, the cut that Mr. Jeff Palermo has provided for us? Oliva spoke at the Baton Rouge Press Club a week ago Monday, and he talked about, and in fact, it was a question from Joe Tregel. His answer was about whether or not LSU would welcome an openly gay athlete, particularly in football. Here's Joe's response.
As long as they can play, if they can play, they can play. And I think that's the only requirement, is if you can compete on the field, your sexual preference is irrelevant.
All right. Joe Oliva, athletic director at Louisiana State University. Now, at LSU now, most of the players are African-American, about 80% on the football team. They're obviously young, much younger than Joe or yours truly. And one of them is a prominent player, is in a relationship with our guest here, is a mass communication major, a junior from Atlanta, top of her class, Bianca Webb. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to see you. What is your age group and the people you associate with at LSU, including the LSU football players? What did they say about this Michael Sam situation?
Well, it's not a matter of his talent, clearly, because the guy had 10 career starts with 17 career tackles and for loss and 9.5 career sacks.
All right, so his statistics are good.
Yeah, so the stats are there, and as you know, just like the athletic director said, it's not a matter of your talent, but you know, there's a culture that comes with football, and it's like an American, you know, societal football, whether it's at the collegiate or professional level. And that thing is that macho cannon, you know. For some reason, when you're talking about like homosexuality, people tend to think they have like this image, which I believe is something that the media has kind of released into society, like the discourse of being a queen or something like that. Like, you know, you're less of a man if you are openly gay. And so for football, your mentality and your physicality, you are supposed to be very strong. You're supposed to be strong-willed, strong-minded. So I think that's something that can be objected to. But if you come onto the field, and from my understanding, we don't have any openly gay football players. But when you come onto the field, say, for instance, if a rookie this year were to come on and say, hey, I am openly gay, you know, he will be contested. He will be, just because of the fact that, especially when you're speaking from the African-American community, there's a lot of adversities that we're still fighting. And it's more of a cultural thing to say that if you're a gay black male, it's almost like an abomination to the community itself. And that's why you tend to hear, you know, mm-hmm. the blacks basically saying, you know, he's just making it that much more harder for us, which I personally disagree with, because to me, this situation just boils down to civic values of respect and responsibility.
All right. Well, Joe Tregel, the black community in Baton Rouge, for example, is very conservative on this issue, liberal on other issues, but not on this one. And ministers like the Reverend Pitcher, my dear friend who's been on this show, they don't believe in the kinds of rights for gay people that you have espoused and that many of us would be in favor of. But is that the elephant in the room? We see it on the Metro Council, too, as far as the One Baton Rouge resolution. In the African-American community, there is not support for these measures.
You're absolutely correct, Jim, and I want to thank Bianca for being on the program with us this morning. But I want to respond to what Bianca said first. The culture in football is such that this is not tolerated and what have you. Well, if you think back 50 years, the culture in the United States was that black people would not be tolerated. So what changed it? Leadership changed it. Here's the big thing that changed it, Bianca. Education. Education to learn that every human being under the United States Constitution has the right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which means respect, too. So the problem is not the culture. The problem is the lack of leadership among the team for people to stand up and say, hey, we can't do that. We shouldn't do that. This is wrong. You don't have that, and I want to go to Jim's question. You really don't have it with the African-American ministers. That's where the hypocrisy comes in. They stand up there, and they know good and well that what they're saying is really not right and not in accordance with the Bible, but they use it to whip people up and to pass the collection basket and to get people to think that, well, we're better than those other people. And I think that's absolutely wrong and needs to be changed. But we don't have leaders who will do it. You don't have leaders at Bethany and Healing Place or certain those places who use those things over and over again.
Well, the ministers are kind of like politicians, too. They speak for their congregation.
Amen, brother. But my point back to you is they speak for their congregation, but don't they have an obligation if they stand in the pulpit to be leaders, to try to make us better, to try to educate us and lift us up, not take us down?
297-5633, Charles on North Foster. Charles, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Jim, and good morning to your guests. I'm going to speak as an African-American man. I'm personally not gay, but the way I see the issue is it becomes an in-your-face matter. I personally don't want to know about your intimate affairs, so I don't equate rights for gays with civil rights. But what we need to talk about is the cover-up of homosexuality in the Greek and the Romans empires and how it had influenced Western society. I was shocked in college to learn this, and it underpins our very country. But no one wants to talk about it. History is full of it, not just in the Bible. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, thank you very much for your observation, and you're absolutely right. I mean, history has been influenced by it. But my personal view on life at my point, my stage in life, is I want to talk about what's happening now. I want to talk about the future. I want to make it better for my friends and for my grandchildren. I want to ask Bianca something.
Well, I want to get at something from her about the Michael Sam situation. Were
sure.
you watching when he was drafted?
Yes.
And he was kissing his boyfriend, and I suspect you were watching with your significant other and other football players, right? What was their reaction?
It was a shock. It wasn't the fact that they kissed. You know, I was definitely anticipating that. I think it was the cake smashing, but it depends on what network you watched it on as well. Like NFL Network cut it out, and they actually got their news feed from ESPN. Because they didn't have an affiliate there to record. So the footage that they had, they only showed, like, you know, the very first moments of intimacy. But I think what came as, like, the upset or the uproar, rather, with all the viewers was the cake smashing and the kissing of the cake and the icing and all that stuff. Because, you know, they showed other players who had girlfriends. You know, they just showed them hugging or kissing, and then they proceeded right on.
No cake smashing.
Yeah. But then in the end, you have to think about this. This is a business. The views that went up when Michael Sam, you know, came on shot up drastically. you know, they had people, they had the gay bars. I know I'm from Atlanta and we had like three gay bars tuning in. That is something that you usually don't see. So instead of having a drag show, because I do attend, I love drag shows. Instead of having a drag show, they canceled it and had a Michael Sam draft night. And, you know, it was a big thing. So now you're talking about a whole audience that, you know, they're going to start to attract. And like I said, this is a business. When you're talking about jersey sales, you know, he's behind Menzel with number two and Clowney at number three. And Clowney was the first round pick. So, you know, that's what you're talking about. Like, this is a business. They're attracting a whole new crowd. So it could be a good thing.
Sure. I want to ask Bianca a question. When you're around your significant other and the other LSU football players, is there a feeling among those people that gay people choose to be gay?
Well, I can't speak for, you know, for those. You know, that's a to be honest with you, homosexuality is a topic that's really not discussed amongst us.
What do you think, personally?
You know, I've never there's not like there's not gay students that attend LSU, and when they're around those students, they don't discriminate.
Answer my question: do you think they choose to be gay?
I mean, just like how I choose to be a heterosexual. Right. Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Tell us the story of when you chose to be a heterosexual.
It was something that I was taught. You know, like women date men, not women date women.
But so, you also felt that way, right?
Yes, I always felt that way. I was always attracted to a male, not necessarily a woman.
Okay. Well, I was always taught that men dated women, but that's not how I felt. I was born differently. So why should I be discriminated against because I was born? This is who I was created as. How do we then justify saying, well, that's the way you were created, but we're going to treat you with intolerance and discrimination?
Well, like I said earlier, I think that's a thing of civic responsibility and respect. But just as you stated earlier, like 50 years ago, the African-American community wasn't accepted. But think about how many years that took for us to be accepted. And I do believe for the LGBT community, it's going to take time. Okay. And it's definitely going to take education because, absolutely, you know, there's still that radical myth that only gays contract HIV/AIDS. And, right, and we know now that's not true. It was one point where only blacks contracted HIV/AIDS. So, you know, I believe it's a matter of time and it's a matter of education, definitely. But at the end of the day, you have to realize, especially in the African-American community, those are the things that are taught at home. And you're taught, like, especially if you're living in the South, like I said, I'm from Atlanta. If you're living in the South, you have, you know, usually Southern Baptist, and it has very conservative views. So it's not just homosexuality. It's things like teenage pregnancy. But even then, we still see, you know, it's almost people are blatantly saying, well, not blatantly, sorry, merely saying that this is another baby booming age because of the amount of people 16 and over that are having babies and the amount of people that are African-American having babies. So there's a lot of other things that as a community that we're faced with, that many feel that homosexuality just brings us right back under the hinge of discrimination in America.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back with Bianca Webb, LSU mass communication junior from Atlanta and the significant other of a prominent LSU football player, and Joe Tragel, openly gay activist, former revenue secretary, and we shall return in 90 seconds on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. A few more minutes with Joe Tragel, who has emerged as the most prominent gay activist in Louisiana, who had a career in business that was quite prominent, and Bianca Webb, LSU journalism junior from Atlanta, Georgia, dating a prominent LSU football player, commenting on the Michael Sam situation. And perhaps the larger issue is how gays are viewed in our community and beyond. And Joe Tragel, let me ask you, I mentioned, and I don't think there's any doubt, you're now the most prominent gay activist in Louisiana. You had a career that had nothing to do with your sexual orientation. Does it bother you to be identified based on your orientation?
Excuse me, Jim. It doesn't bother me. I would rather be known as a successful businessman who just happens to be gay. But, you know, I do feel very strongly that we need to have people who will stand up and talk about these issues, like Bianca has come on this morning. She's been a wonderful guest, and she's been very enlightening, and I understand her position, and I hope she understands my position, and this is how change occurs. But here in Louisiana and in Baton Rouge, we just don't like to talk about these things. I mean, you got civic clubs who are scared to death of having somebody stand before them and talk about treating every person with dignity and respect. The thought of that just petrifies
them,
because that's not who we are.
67 state house members voting to keep an unconstitutional law on the books, too.
That's exactly right. And those are not good signs, but we have to remain hopeful that, you know, that we will change and that we will eventually get some leaders in office.
Well, most of the members of these city clubs that you're talking about, not the city club, but civic clubs, they're 50 or above,
right.
And so maybe they've been indoctrinated in a different time and place and culture. And Bianca, I think, adds something to our conversation because you're 20, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 20, just turned 20.
20 years old, and she's the new generation.
Absolutely.
And I think from those listening, she's a fairly conservative person on this issue. It doesn't have anything to do with that I can tell, that it being a personal attack on you. But
I think she's conservative, but I also think she's reasonable, and I think she understands. She said the key word twice before. It's going to take time and education. And I think she's the kind of person who is so articulate, she can help us, you know, with her significant other. And other people say, wait a minute, why do you say that about that? You know, that why do you judge that person? You shouldn't be judging other people. Let people live their own lives.
Absolutely.
How does it affect you that I've been happily partnered for 20 years? It doesn't affect you at all.
Not at all.
So why sit around and criticize them?
But you're okay with that?
Well, like I said, I don't think I do have said this before. You know, in high school, I was on, like, one of the biggest dance teams in Georgia, and I had gay teammates. I've had gay teachers. I actually have gay friends that I've met at LSU. And, you know, like, they know how I am, but, you know, the Bible also says, as much as preachers teach about not being gay, it also says, he who has not sinned cast the first stone.
Right.
So, you know, I think as people, we tend to look at others and see all their faults.
Right.
But, you know, there's just as many things wrong with me as it is with you for choosing a different lifestyle.
I want to add one thing to this discussion, that Bianca's touched on a point that I consider to be very, very important. You take people like Tony Perkins and Gene Mills and all these people.
You mentioned them a few times today, Joe.
Well, absolutely, because they're the people who make a living selling this stuff. It is so hypocritical for them to say, oh, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Because the Bible also says that if you work on Sunday, what do you do?
You rest.
You kill them.
You kill them, yes.
Look it up. What does it say about adultery? If somebody commits adultery, what do you do? You stone them.
You kill them. Yes.
What if your children talk about it? See, that's what I'm saying. Cherry pick the Bible. You know, like, oh, the Bible says this. But we don't want to hear all of the real stuff that the Bible says. We
David,
pick the stuff.
David on I-10. Good morning, David. You're on the air with Joe Tregel.
Good morning, Jim. I wanted to thank you for such a great show. It's very interesting to me. My wife and I moved to Louisiana 15 years ago from Washington, D.C., and I was surprised. Well, there are a lot of gay people who work in government, and my observation was there aren't a lot of openly gay people who work in government. I think Washington was one of the most closed-off places I had experienced, and when I moved here, I was very surprised to see how many openly gay people there were, and really pleased to see how accepting the community was. And I agree with your guest. It's probably not where it should be, but for a southern city, I mean, we spend the majority of our time in New Orleans, but for southern cities or for a southern state, far more progressive than I experienced in the other states mm-hmm. in the South.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, David. What will you tell your children, Bianca, about sexual orientation and how people should be treated?
Well, the thing is this. I come from a diverse family, but, you know, there's that one drop rule. If you have one lineage of a black in your family, then you're black. And to me, I will have, you know, I can't teach my children not to love somebody because of who they are or what they love, because of the simple fact that they're going to be faced with the fact, you know, you're black, and if they're a female, you're a female. You know, females are still considered minorities. You know, we're supposed to be submissive. You know, you still have glass ceilings in the workplace.
And the Bible says that, as a matter of fact.
And it actually does. You know, males should be the dominants, and, you know, females, you know, back to that hunter and gather theory, you know, males, you go get the meat, and women, you take care of the home. But, you know, I think that's another thing that's, you know, the world is forever changing, and it's ever changing. And I have to teach my children how to be global citizens. You know, there's other things to attack issues on, like human sex trafficking, as opposed to somebody who's homosexual.
Right.
I'd rather for them to advocate for something like that.
Lee in La Paz. Lee, please be brief. You're on the air with Joe and Bianca. Hi, Lee.
Good morning, Jim. I guess it's just my old Southern traditional upbringing. And I'm not a Bible thumper by any means of the word or definition. But I just can't help but think that marriage was a tradition that was created to legitimize, if for lack of a better term, to legitimize procreation and the be fruitful and multiply thing.
Lee, let me ask you this question. 100 years ago, wasn't slavery traditional and respected and agreed upon that that was the right thing to do? It doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. It means that we need to question these things in terms of today's life and other people and the respect for other people. Why does it hurt you one bit if I'm partnered with somebody for 20 years and have a good life? It doesn't.
Well, sir, I wonder how much of this marriage laws would have been changed if we would have taken the economical component out of it. I think that that's more of an impetus, or at least should be given some consideration as to why people are so headstrong on that. And if you want to change a law because of what you have just stated, and I agree with that, you know, times do change, but how much of this is really precluded because of economic reasons?
One question for you, Lee.
All right, we're short on time. Go ahead.
Sure, real quickly. As an individual who's not married, if my partner's in an automobile accident and goes to the hospital, I'm not allowed to see him under law in Louisiana. Is that right?
Well, it's a rhetorical question and a good one. And I'm sure we'll have occasion to talk about these things again. But it's good to have Bianca and Joe together on the show. And thank you, Bianca Webb.
Thank you,
Joe Traeger.
Thank you, Jim.
Good to
very
see
much.
Both of
great
you.
Show.
And
enjoyed it.
Hopefully we'll have some enlightenment in the days, months, and years to come. 297-5633 is your number. And Joe Traeger, as noted, is a former revenue secretary and a man who's with the Department of Revenue as we speak, the chief spokesperson for the department, who talks about taxes on a daily basis, is Byron Henderson. Good morning, and a longtime journalist at that. Byron, this is a big weekend as far as those who may be counting their dollars and cents.
It is. Well, you know, the 2014 Atlantic hurricane season starts on June 1. And so this year, as with every year, the last full weekend of May, the state is conducting a sales tax holiday for hurricane preparedness. So on Saturday and Sunday, May 24th and 25th, shoppers in Louisiana can purchase a range of hurricane preparedness items without having to pay the 4% state sales tax.
No 4% sales tax, state sales tax. So if you're talking about $1,000, then that's $40, right?
Well, sure. Well, there's a number of things, items that are on the list of approved or eligible items. For example, portable generators, storm shelters, flashlights, and batteries. So, and the exemption applies to the first $1,500 of the purchase price of each item. So, if you buy a $1,500 generator and $1,500 worth of storm shutters, then your entire $3,000 purchase is exempt from the 4% state sales tax.
$120.
Exactly. So, and if one of those items costs more than $1,500, say the generator costs $2,000, then you'll only pay the state sales tax on the $500 difference.
So, you've done this before. And I suspect the response has been strong enough that you've decided to soldier on.
Well, you know what? It's actually a state law. It happens every year by statute. It was passed in 2007. And so it happens every year on the last full weekend in May.
Okay, so it's in the Constitution?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, it's a state law.
It's a state law. It's a state law. So as a result of that, it happens every year, no matter who the governor or who the revenue secretary is. But is there any handle on the amount of money that people have saved as a result of this law?
It's difficult to know because you don't know what you're not collecting because you're not collecting it. But the fiscal note that was attached to the legislation when it passed estimated about $2 million a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, $2 million a year. That's serious money, and this is a time that most people aren't thinking about hurricanes, but maybe they should. The season actually starts June 1, and as we know, we never know when it's going to come this way with a vengeance.
Well, sure. And so this is an investment in encouraging Louisiana residents to get prepared early. What you really don't want is to wait until a storm is on its way or one has already struck, and then you're trying to buy these items that can keep your family comfortable and safe from store shelves that have already been picked clean.
All right. 297-5633 is your number. The holiday runs from when to when, Byron Henderson?
It starts at 12:01 on Saturday, May the 24th, and continues until 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, the 25th. Okay. So it's two full days.
All right. So 11:59, you better not come in the store.
Assuming the store is still open. Well, you know, one thing I remind people is to remember that this only applies to the 4% state sales tax. So any local taxes will still apply unless your local taxing authority has created its own exemption.
Okay. And as you can imagine, based on the previous conversation, we have a question from Rex about gay couples in other states, if they get married in some other state where it's allowed and they come to Louisiana, what kind of tax obligations do they face in our state?
Oh, goodness. Let's see. There was I'm trying to remember. I wasn't really prepared to discuss this. The department's position is that the state constitution, which prohibits same-sex marriage, actually is what governs tax law.
In Louisiana.
Yes.
And until further notice, we have one law in this state, and there are other laws that allow gay marriage in different states. Chuck in Lafayette. Chuck, good morning. You're on the air with Byron Henderson.
Yes, I was wondering, I filed my taxes in February, and I was supposed to get a refund, and they keep sending me a message that they received my file, but they haven't processed it, and I can't get any response. Is there a specific office that I should be contacting?
I'm not sure what number you're calling, but if you want to check on the status of your refund, you can visit revenue.louisiana.gov/refund, and that is our free web application that can assist you in checking the status of your income tax refund. And there's actually a toll-free phone number, but I just can't remember it off the top of my head.
revenue.louisiana.gov/refund. Okay. And you can check on your refund. And more people, in fact, I would say maybe you have the actual percentage, Byron, certainly a majority of people now file electronically.
True, and we encourage that. I think the last numbers that I saw, we had well over 85% of folks in Louisiana who are filing their state taxes electronically. We have actually a free web application on our website. It's called Louisiana File Online. There are no fees associated with its use, and you know, when you file electronically, you can get your refund back in about 21 days. If you file paper, mm-hmm. the wait time is about 12 to 16 weeks. So we definitely encourage people to file electronically.
Was the tax amnesty program last year successful?
It was.
You raised more than actually projected. So I guess that would make it a success. And this is something that doesn't happen every year. So, and that was a question from Stephen. Obviously, the point of amnesty is to do it every now and then, but not every year.
I suppose I don't really have any.
All right.
I'm not going to weigh in on policy questions.
Frank, it's Rita in North Baton Rouge. Hi, Rita. You're on with Byron.
Thank you. I have a question, perhaps naive, but what does a gay person's birth certificate say?
What is it? I don't think that's a question for Byron Henderson. But
I have no thoughts. I was to
maybe
share
that
on
was
that
a previous discussion, and that. Kind of hard to stretch that one into a tax discussion, but certainly at the Department of Revenue, every facet of life in Louisiana is affected, because we're talking about the thing that is quite often the most precious commodity for an individual, their income. So Louisiana has an office that is vigorous and it's helping of others. And I know that Tim Barfield, who's been on this show, is doing the best he can to assist the great citizenry of Louisiana, Byron.
He is. He's managing an agency that is professional and is oriented toward public service.
All right. Well, the tax-free holiday starts 12:01 Saturday. It's 12:01 a.m.
12:01 a.m.
Continues through 11:59 p.m. I guess that's 11:59:59 p.m. on Sunday, the 25th. Last year, $2 million was saved by people participating, and we hope you'll take part. Thank you for listening, everybody. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at wrkf.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.